Hello and welcome to The Word, bringing you the good news of Jesus Christ every day from the Order of Preachers around the world. Today, from the United States, we hear from Dr. Anne Garrido, an associate professor of homiletics at Aquinas Institute of Theology. Anne lives in Miami, and her preaching is entitled Sidestepping the Trap.
A reading according to the Gospel of Mark. Some Pharisees and Herodians were sent to Jesus to ensnare him in his speech. They came and said to him, "Teacher, we know that you're a truthful man and that you're not concerned with anyone's opinion. You do not regard a person's status, but teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. Is it lawful to pay the census tax to Caesar or not? Should we pay or should we not pay?" Knowing their hypocrisy, he said to them, "Why are you testing me? Bring me a denarius to look at it." They brought one to him, and he said to them, "Whose image and inscription is this?" They replied to him, "Caesar's." So Jesus said to them, "Repay to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and to God what belongs to God." They were utterly amazed at him. Walked right into an incredible mess of a situation not so long ago that had all the signs of a trap. Politics, money, truth, taxes, lots of people on hand to watch. As you can tell, it was a real doozy. One of those scenarios in which there seemed to be no good way out. Fortunately, it was not a trap set for me. It was set for Jesus. Now, in retrospect, we should have known something was up when both the Herodians and the Pharisees approached at the same time. Pharisees and Herodians never hang out with one another. The Pharisees, as you know, were religious purists with pious, narrow eyes, always scanning for potential offense of scriptural dictums, ready to jump on it. The Roman presence permeating every nook and cranny of life in Galilee and Judea gave unending opportunity to trigger their critique. The Herodian dynasty, however, was only still in existence because they supported Rome and hence received support from Rome. For Herodians, a person who spoke up against anything Roman was a rebel. Now, if the mere presence of the Pharisees and Herodians in the same square at the same time were not clue enough, we should definitely have known something was brewing when they began to butter up Jesus, praising his reputation for honesty and frankness, appealing to Jesus' identity as someone who cares about telling the truth regardless of the other's status. They were setting him up in public so they could zing him with a hot question in the news. Is it lawful to pay the census tax to Caesar or not? Should we pay? Should we not pay? It was a straight yes or no, either or question. If he said no, the Herodians could report him to the Romans for sowing dissent against the empire. If he said yes, the Pharisees could accuse him of acknowledging Caesar as Lord over the God of Israel. Either way, the crowd would get agitated and things might get out of hand. Answer pro-Pharisee, and their anger against the Romans would be fomented. Answer pro-Herodian, and Jesus would lose favor in the crowd's eyes for having sold out to an oppressive power. I couldn't see how we were going to get out of this situation with reputations intact and our heads still attached to our necks. But Jesus reached his hand into his pocket, came up empty. Then he turned his travel pouch upside down. Nothing came out. "Ah, shoot," he said. "Do one of you have a denarius?" Turns out Jesus was not carrying even the equivalent of one day's wages on him while he traveled. But both the Pharisees and the Herodians were. One of them handed him a desired coin. "Whose picture?" he asked. "What?" their expression seemed to say. Did he think them stupid? "Caesar's." "Then give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. Give to God what belongs to God." Both the Herodians and Pharisees began to mumble among themselves in their respective circles. Many bystanders chuckled as the crowd began to dissipate, return to their homes. There's nothing more to see. Jesus turned and winked at me, motioned for us to move on. I'm not sure what happened to the denarius, but I will add that we had a better supper that evening than we'd had in a long time. Since that time, Jesus has refused to clarify any further what he said that morning in the square. Was he saying that we should pay taxes to the Romans? Or that we shouldn't, because in the end, everything we have comes from God, and that's the only one we need to give allegiance to? I'm left pondering, what exactly is it that belongs to Caesar and is due to him? Does everything belong to God? Or was his point that both the Pharisees and the Herodians, nemeses that they were, both still participated in the economy of the empire, since both were carrying Caesar's coins in their pocket, whereas he was not? I don't know. Jesus won't say. But Jesus' reputation has only gone up. People are amazed, and seemingly not so much because of what Jesus said, but because of how he handled the whole scenario, how he managed to walk right into the middle of what seemed like an inescapable trap and walk out the other side unscathed. Dare I suggest one denarius better off? How he sidestepped polarization, didn't fall for the flattery, didn't let his identity get triggered and feel like he needed to public stand on every issue, didn't get sucked into the either-or. And I think I should like to learn more about how to do that. Because even though this particular trap wasn't set for me, there are plenty that are. There are political conversations where I feel like I am getting baited all of the time. Conversations where people are trying to box me into an either-or answer. Are you with us? Are you against us? Show your true colors, as if I only have one. There are places where I'm standing between two sides that are both rooting for someone to screw up so that a good fight can break out and news will be made. And I know there are times when one does need to take a particular stand. There are battle hills that we need to be willing to die on. Jesus had one of those. It was called Calvary. And I realize now that he didn't take a stand on everything so that he could take a stand on what mattered most to him. Not the existing empire of Rome, but the coming of the kingdom of God. So I pray today that I'll know what potential arguments to sidestep. I pray for the ability not to live a triggered life and to be creative in responding to tough situations. I pray to see the bigger picture and not get boxed in so as to think only in either-or terms. And I pray that when it would be important to take a stand, I'll know that it's the time to do so and be willing to lay down my life if necessary, with much courage, trading all the denarius I've picked up along the way for eternal life.